done a lot of singing today. Do we think of those songs as being spiritual? Do we think of our spiritual aspects of worship? And what does it mean to be spiritual? Being spiritual. I think it's a good thing, but do we know really what it is? Well, what being spiritual is not, I think I can maybe start off with, being spiritual is not wearing beads, flowers, crystals, and giving the peace sign to everyone. Being spiritual is not fasting until people are asking you, are you sick? Being spiritual is not chanting and wearing white robes, or red robes for that matter. I'm from Oregon originally, and there was a gentleman out there who had a following, and he was a self-proclaimed religious man. And they all wore red. He wore a red robe, they wore red robes and red clothing and shirts and shoes and socks and I imagine underwear too. But is that what it is to be spiritual? I don't think so. Not according to Yahweh's word. Yahweh's word doesn't want us to be making a show out of physical things, trying to make them into spiritual things. I remember even a couple that were well-dressed, and yet they were obviously starving themselves, and they were trying to be religious. They were trying to be spiritual, but in doing so, they went against the commandment not to do such things, not to make yourself like that. Yahshua warned us not to do that. Ecclesiastes 7:16. You may have not noticed this before, but it seems to be saying, don't be self-righteous. It says, do not be excessively righteous. Do not be overly wise. Why should you ruin yourself? Were those men starving themselves, ruining themselves? Were they doing really what is called for today? What Yahweh wants of us? What Yahshua would want? Is going around and so-called sacred attire, something that we should be doing. Well, of course, we're to come before Yahweh in proper attire, in proper dress. In some cultures, that may be a little different than what we would consider proper attire. But we're told, all do what we can. Now, we know that there are physical and spiritual comparisons. There is physical health. There, versus spiritual health. There is physical circumcision versus spiritual circumcision. There is physical food versus spiritual food. I couldn't help but think, of course, of the singing that was going on today. And I think there's a reason we do that before we even get into praying and giving a message. And we can touch upon that. But I couldn't help also but think about what I've heard before about being in the sheep line rather than being in the goat line. What does it take to be in the sheep line? Because that's the line we want to be in. Because we know that, what's going to happen. The sheep are going to be welcomed. The goats are not. Well, I think being spiritual is part of being a good sheep. And then, of course, we have to be shepherded by our good shepherd, Yahshua. And didn't we just read of that in the reading today? John 10. Well, ancient Israel, ancient physical Israel, lived a very physical existence. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians and chapter 10. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized in Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Messiah. Nevertheless, with most of them, Elohim was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now these things happen as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also craved. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Nor let us act immorally as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in one day. Amazing. Nor let us try Yahweh as some of them did and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written down for our instruction upon whom the ends of the age have come. How much closer are we now to the end of the age than they were back at this time, almost 2,000 years ago? We are very close to Yahshua's return, I think. Of course, there's going to be some tribulation beforehand. But ancient Israel was very physical, and they did physical things, and they, even though they were being fed spiritual food and spiritual drink, they ended up craving evil things. They became idolaters. They were immoral. And these things we are warned not to be, because they are of the flesh. They are physical. They are opposite to the spiritual that we are to be. Galatians 5. You probably know this chapter well. We go to it a lot because it shows the contrast between the flesh and the spirit. If we're being spiritual, we're going to have, in verse 22, what the fruit of the Spirit is: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Do we want to know what being spiritual is? We can read this and find out. We can pray and desire these things in our life. These things are given when we're given the Spirit. They're a fruit of the Spirit. Now, the opposite, the goat type of aspects. Verse 19, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing. This is really goat's food. It's what goats feed on. It's what goats express in their lives. It says, and these things like these, of which I forewarned you, just as I forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of Elohim. They'll be in the goat line. They won't be in the sheep line. So we need to make sure that our attitude, our worship, our spiritual outlook on life and in our own being, to be spiritual, we need to make sure that we're being spiritual according to Yahweh's word and according to the Spirit. Because Yahweh desires those that worship in Him in spirit and in truth. And His word is even spiritual. You find that in Romans. But in 1 Corinthians 3, if you turn over there, can we still be fleshly and not spiritual? I mean, we have Yahweh's Spirit. Is that possible to be still fleshly and not spiritual? 1 Corinthians 3 and 1 through 3. And our brethren could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, to infants in Messiah, infantile, immature. Verse 2, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly, and are you not walking like mere men? We're not to walk like mere men. We're to walk on higher ground, and we're to express the fruits of the Spirit in our life. And that takes cultivating. That takes work. It takes studying of Yahweh's Word. It takes prayer and being connected to Yahweh. It takes spiritual offerings and doing those things that Yahweh would have us to do. Singing, coming together, worshiping Him, looking into His Word. It's all part of it. So how do we live spiritually mature lives? Let's go over to Romans. Romans 12, starting there in verse 1. Romans 1 and or 12 and verse 1. Putting physical actions in line with spiritual and humble thinking. Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of Elohim, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to Elohim, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of Elohim is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as Yahweh has allotted to each man, to each a measure of faith. So we do not think too highly of ourselves, more than we ought to. And it helps us to have sound judgment. What about the late Saddam Hussein? Did he have good judgment? Why didn't he have good judgment? Wasn't he proud and arrogant? Completely against Yahweh in action and in word. And there are those today that lead that are doing the same, similar things. They're living by a different spirit, a proud and arrogant spirit. It's the spirit of the world. And we know who rules this world, don't we? Satan. And it's an evil influence that's in the world. We are to come out of the world. And we are to come out singing songs of praise. Let's go over to Colossians. Colossians 3. And what are our songs based upon? Colossians 3 and verse 16, let the word of Messiah richly dwell in you, the word of Messiah, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to Yahweh. We do that when we come together, even now on this Sabbath day. They're spiritual songs based upon Yahweh's word. They're spiritual offerings up to Yahweh. It's not for our entertainment. We don't come here and clap after someone gives a great offering, because it's not to us. It's to Yahweh. And we have to keep that in mind. We're not here because, you know, I want a fellowship. Well, that's part of coming together. Yes, we should do that. But that's not a priority. Priority is to worship the Father and to be here for Him. To be here for another reason over that is, it's wrong. So we have to be here for the right reason. So why do we sing first? Why not pray first? Why not give a message first? In 2 Chronicles, you don't have to turn there, but it shows that only after singing took place did the glory of Yahweh enter into the temple. It's interesting that the praise was given first, and then Yahweh's presence came in glory. And are we not to sing praise to Him continuously and come together like a spiritual house? 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2 and verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Yahweh through Yahshua the Messiah. You're being built up as a spiritual house to offer up spiritual sacrifices. All the more reason to have songs of praise before Yahweh. But it's Yahweh giving us this ability. It's Yahweh moving us, helping us, guiding us, strengthening us, providing for us. All glory goes to Him. Because He's the one doing this for us. We'll be in the sheep line if we're following the Good Shepherd, if we're following Yahweh's Spirit. Is the inner man that is being renewed daily the soul of a man? Is the inner man that is being renewed daily the soul of a man? Of course, we read that the inner man is being renewed. Is that the soul of a man? Is there an immortal soul? A lot of preachers will say that there is an immortal soul. But they can't be teaching out of the Bible because the Bible doesn't say anywhere immortal soul. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore we do not lose heart, but through our outer man, though our outer man is decaying, and we know that. I heard something about teeth wearing out earlier today. Well, yeah, our teeth do wear out. Our bodies wear out. That's just the way it is. But yes, our inner man is being renewed day by day. How does that happen? Well, it happens by studying His Word, meditating upon it, and maintaining that connection with Yahweh through Yahshua in the Spirit, in their spirit, the ones that they have. And it's a spirit. It's a power of Yahweh. It's a guiding force. It's a helpful force. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Yeah, we have physical pain, we have difficulties. But while we look not at the things, verse 18, which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So, how do you look at something that's not seen? Is that possible? We're told to keep the kingdom of Yahweh in mind, to keep that as a focus, to keep what's coming as a focus. What helps us to get through the difficulties that we sometimes go through? It's having the goal that's ahead of us in mind, in focus. And I always think of this lady that was trying to swim across this body of water, and it was foggy, and she really couldn't see the destination where she was going. And she lost heart and waved for the boat to pick her up. She couldn't go any further. She only had like 100 yards to go, 200 yards, something like that. It wasn't very far. And she said afterwards, if I had only known, if I could have only have seen, if I could have only seen the land there, I would have kept going. I wouldn't have given up. So we're encouraged to look towards the kingdom of Yahweh, to look forward to the New Jerusalem, to be a spirit being in that New Jerusalem, and to look forward to when Yahshua returns. Though there are difficulties coming, there's tribulation. The day of Yahweh, of course, comes first. But we can get past that if we stay in the sheep's line and stay spiritually focused on Yahweh and on what He is doing and His overall plan. And the things that we think that we might not have, even now, will be added to us. Is there anything that we don't have? Maybe we don't need it right now. Yahweh knows. Sometimes He says, when we ask for something, He says, not no, but He says, not yet. And so we wait and are patient. And, of course, Scripture says we have a need, we have a definite need for endurance. Ezekiel 18. Well, you don't have to turn there. Ezekiel 18, well, yeah, you do have to turn there. If you want to follow along, because I'm going to go a little bit past that. Ezekiel 18:4. I just wanted to point out that concerning this soul, Scripture says the soul that sins will die. Seems to be a little contrary to the immortal soul concept that is preached today. But Ezekiel 18 and verse 4 says, "Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins will die." Do we want to sin? No. Does the Spirit help us to not sin? Yes. To stay in the sheep line, we have to stay spiritually minded. We have to stay focused on Yahweh's Word. And we have to put sin away, far away. But verse 5, continuing on here, it says, "If a man is righteous and practices justice and righteousness, and does not eat at the mountain shrines, or lift up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, or defile his neighbor's wife, or approach a woman during her menstrual period. If a man does not approach anyone, but restores to the debtor his pledge, does not commit robbery, but gives his bread to the hungry, and covers the naked with clothing. If he does not lend money on interest or take an increase, if he keeps his hand from iniquity and executes true justice between man and man, if he walks in my statutes and my ordinances so as to deal faithfully, he is righteous and will surely live, declares Yahweh Elohim." Is all that kind of being part of the idea of being spiritually minded? I think it's definitely being spiritually minded. Not wearing beads, flowers, crystals, or giving peace sign, not fasting until people start asking if you're sick, not chanting and wearing white robes or red robes or these other things, but walks in my statutes and my ordinances so as to deal faithfully. He is righteous and will surely live, declares Yahweh Elohim. The word soul is Strong's 5315, nefesh, meaning one who breathes or a living being. Soul basically is life. In the deeper sense, we are given existence that is built therein with goals, attitude, and mind. And if we have Yahweh's Spirit, we in essence, in effect, have a bit of Yahweh's mind within us and helps us to see with spiritual eyes rather than just our physical eyes. And we walk differently. With Yahweh's help, we walk differently. To get a true sense of the word soul, let's go over to Genesis 2 and verse 7. It says, "Then Yahweh Elohim formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils and the breath of life, and man became a living..." Now my translation has it correctly. A living being. Some translations say soul. a living being. Animals are living beings, living animals. They're souls, in a sense. In John 4, in verse 24, talks about Yahweh being spirit. John 4:24 says, Yahweh is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So what does Yahweh's spirit do for us? How does it allow us to walk in spirit and in truth? Well, the spirit reminds us of Yahweh's word. Interestingly enough, let's go over to Numbers 15 and verse 39. You know, we talked about physical health versus spiritual health, physical circumcision versus spiritual circumcision, some of these things. Here is a verse that talks about tassels. Notice what the tassels are for. It shall be a tassel for you. And by the way, I can't find any instruction on how to make these in Scripture. Why is that? I think it kind of goes back to why Yahweh doesn't have a set pattern for how one gets married. You know, each, in a sense, I mean, each culture has their own way of making that commitment, that vow. Of course, in the body, we know that we are to be married within the body, and to make that vow before Yahweh. But it shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of Yahweh. Now, doesn't Yahweh's spirit bring to remembrance Yahweh's word? In John 14:26, you don't have to turn there, but it says the Comforter, the Spirit, will remind you. It says, so, in verse 39, continuing, it says, so as to do them and not follow after your own heart and your own eyes, which you have played the harlot. Speaking of eyes, we're given spiritual eyes when we are immersed in Yahshua's name and have the laying on of hands by the eldership. We walk differently with Yahweh's help. We follow that spirit that we're given. In Ezekiel 36:26-27 says we're given a new spirit. That it's a process that's starting right now, I believe, with those that are receiving the spirit. Not to follow our own stony heart anymore, but to follow his spirit and to do his will. In fact, we could turn over to Ezekiel 36. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. Now, this is true if we're going to be in that sheep line, if we're following Yahweh's lead, if we're following that spirit and following in Yahshua's footsteps, who also followed Yahweh's spirit. He had the mind of Yahweh. He had it in its fullness. We don't, but we still get promptings by the Spirit to do what's right. And we're reminded of certain things that we are to do. And it helps us. What does Yahweh's Spirit do for us? It's like a radar, I do believe, and it helps us to avoid and overcome sin. I was talking to someone recently, and we have these studio lights in here. Well, on these studio lights, there is a little control that you can increase the intensity of the light by turning the control over to its stronger setting. And we were talking about how Yahweh's Spirit works within each of us. If I move towards something that I shouldn't, Yahweh's Spirit can certainly let me know that he's not pleased with that. And it's like he turns up the light within each one of us to keep us from sin. I remember that Carrie and I went into this video rental store one time, and it was like a family-oriented video store. And we went in, and they had some foul-mouthed comedian that was spewing out garbage for goats. And I'll tell you, we both felt a strong presence, a strong conscience, that was not right. And it seems like Yahweh's Spirit works with us and helps strengthen our conscience so that we don't do those things that are wrong in His sight. But what if you resist? Then you can sear your conscience. You can hurt the Spirit. You can offend the Spirit. You can press it down to where it's not as effective in your life anymore. We need to be careful that we don't do that, so that it is effective in our life, that our conscience is strong concerning right and wrong, so we move towards those things that are right and move away from those things that are wrong. What does Yahweh's Spirit do for us? It connects us with Yahweh like a bridge. We just saw this horrendous tragedy with a bridge that crashed. Of course, this is a bridge between two points of land. But we have a bridge between us and Yahweh. Now, people died when that bridge broke, when that bridge, the structure, and they're not sure exactly what happened. Maybe it was part of the base. Something happened with the base. Maybe it was a subtle thing. Not always is right and wrong so blaringly evident. And Satan has subtle ways. And we need to be careful that what we do is right and not wrong. That our attitude is correct and not bad. Because it can damage the structure. It can hurt the structure, this bridge that we have between ourselves and Yahweh. If that bridge crashes, death happens, just as death occurred when this bridge crashed that we saw on television recently and in the news, in the papers. What does Yahweh's Spirit do for us? It helps us to think like Yahweh and Yahshua and to be one with them. And this is what Yahshua wanted. He said it. He wanted his disciples and the brethren to be one with him and his Father. What does that mean, to be one with them? It means doing and thinking and being like they are. Being an example to others. Having that light shine and not, being dimmed so that others can praise Yahweh. It may not happen right away, but on the day of visitation. How do we walk on higher ground? Quite simply, by allowing Yahweh's Spirit to lead us. 1 Corinthians 2. First Corinthians 2 and verse 11. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Notice it doesn't say soul. But it says, even so, the thoughts of Elohim no one knows except the spirit of Elohim, of Yahweh. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is from Yahweh, so that we may know the things freely given us, or to us by Yahweh, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the spirit of Elohim, for they are foolishness to him, and we cannot, and he cannot understand them. I mean, we can understand because we've been given the Spirit. Because they are spiritually discerned. So we notice things in the world that maybe we didn't notice before. We see things. We observe things. We are aware of some of these things that are, of course, wrong. I mean, walking into a video store and having a bunch of cuss words blaring is not... I mean, even a morally good person would be offended by that. And be, you know, their conscience would want them to turn around and leave. But with Yahweh's Spirit, I think it's even more intense. And as we draw close to Yahweh, we get, I think, a stronger sense of what He wants and what He doesn't want. And we certainly have to match that all up with Yahweh's Word. So we have to stay in study. Of course, we know Satan is the ruler of this world, and he's going to do everything he can to confuse matters, teaching immortal soul and these other things that are not right. Where does that come from? It's not Yahweh's Spirit. It's not in His Word. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. Do we fight against those physical things or do we fight another force? Ephesians 6 and verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Do we think there are not spiritual forces out there? You remember Daniel 10, where it talks about the prince of Persia? That was evidently a demonic force over an area. Look at some of the metropolitan areas. What kind of crimes go on in there, in those cities, in those areas? Are there any demonic forces there? I trust there are. I mean, even traveling into different areas, you get a sense of, you know, hey, things are a little different around here. In many cases, worse. Where Scripture talks about the cities being destroyed, the coming tribulation. Yahweh is not pleased with people that submit to these spiritual, these wicked things that are out there. Now, we started out speaking of what being spiritual is not, right to end about what being spiritual does mean. Being spiritual does mean living your life according to Yahweh's Word. It means you must read, meditate, study it, pray, stay connected. Make that bridge strong. Don't allow it to become rusty and or damaged to where, you know, it's not a strong bridge. Make that spirit, help that spirit to be strong in your life. Being spiritual does mean being merciful, loving, kind, and gentle. It also means being courageous, bold, and strong. Because if someone stands up and says, "Oh, I don't believe this," especially this particular part here in Scripture, well, we are to have a spiritual sword. We have one at our disposal, Yahweh's Word. And Scripture cannot be broken. And Scripture confirms Scripture. So we can put down those things that come against us, whether they be false doctrines or false teachers or false, you know, those those that may be just meddlers and trying to cause problems. Being spiritual does mean we look for the New Jerusalem to come and the establishment of the coming kingdom of Yahweh. Being spiritual does mean we look at the things which are not seen. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Being spiritual does mean desiring to give more than desiring to get. Look at what has been done for us. The understanding that we have, the spirit that has been given to us, the love that we have been shown. You can't put a price on it. You can't. And we so much want to live our lives according to Yahweh's way. And we see sometimes how frail we are, how out of sync sometimes we are. And we do sometimes err. But Yahweh helps us get up. And if a righteous man falls, what is it, 7 times? I mean, he gets up, brushes himself off, and with Yahweh's help, moves forward. And this is what we're to do. We're to move forward with Yahweh's Spirit leading us. We've been given forgiveness. We've been given life, light, a promise of a glorious future as spiritual beings. What else could compare? What else is worth more than that? I can't think of anything. Revelation 2 and 3 talks about what those that overcome, what they'll receive. Not that we're looking for a reward, but the reward is coming. So let's strengthen our relationship with Yahweh through Joshua. Stay connected. Make that bridge a strong one. Of course, it's Yahweh doing it. But we have a part to play. We have things to do. And we certainly want to be spiritually minded. And we want to move forward. We want to move forward with Yahweh and Joshua by our side. Helping us, leading us, guiding us. Through Yahshua the Messiah. Thanks. Hallelujah. May Yahweh bless.